Added for Life, my name is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Thank God for doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And that's changing me on permission. I want to thank Lisa for doing a good job. My home group is the Keep Coming Back group. We meet every Tuesday. Can you hear me now? All right. My home group, the Keep Coming Back group, we meet every Tuesday South Potomac area at 7:30. It's a 1-6 step meeting. And on the end of every month, we do a chapter from the Living Clean, the Journey Continue. So if you're ever in the South Potomac area on Tuesday, feel welcome to come down, get a meeting, get a hug and a cup of coffee. All right. What is our message? I had to put my glasses on. I had to write it down because I'm like Lisa now. I'm aging. I'm kind of like, you know, losing my memory a lot of times. But our message is, what is an addict? We know it, an addict. Ooh, boy, the message that an addict, any addict, white addict, the black addict, the rich addict, the red addict, the poor addict, the addict who don't even know he need to be here, can find, can lose desire, find a new way of life. Our message is hope, our promise is freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that is all we have to give. Addict for Life, my name is Mike. Hey, hug the person beside you, to the left, to the right, and welcome to the meeting. All right, we try to do that real fast because I only got like 30 minutes to bring this message. All right, I'd like to welcome everybody. My topic is growing pains. My clean date is actually is January 1st, 1999, but I surrendered December 31st. Because at the end of the road, right? I'm talking about somebody who was in a position of desperation. Right? I'm an addict, you know, who at the end, man, I was in a garage, right, sleeping in an abandoned car. Right? I'm sleeping in an abandoned car, you know, and I'm in there because I got a secret. So December 31st, right, me and three addicts, we playing tunk for crack and I'm winning. I'm winning, but I'm also having this one-on-one sidebar with God, right? And I'm praying and I'm asking the man, you know, why you continue to let me win? And you know I want to die. So through this process of me winning and having this one-on-one, I'm getting hands. We're playing tunk. And I'm getting hands like 47. And I'm tunking with 47. And I'm winning. Who wins with 47? I'm getting hands with 48. Now I know you get 50, you get away. But I'm throwing down 48 and I'm still winning. And I'm having this one-on-one with God, man. Why you continue to let me win? You know I don't want to do this no more. But I'm at that point, man, where's that, you know, God hasn't given me my assignment yet. What he was doing for me, right? He was trying to like, you know, we talked about when we come in here, we gotta be in that posture. Right? But I was locking load in that garage, man. You know what I mean? Holding on to a lot of stuff, man, because of my inability. Right? My inability to kind of like accept, you know what I mean, my life and what and how I ended up in a garage, man. You know, I just didn't wake up one day and say, man, I was gonna end up in a garage. Let's just go back, man, to everybody last 24 hours. Let's go back to that dark place. So I'm in that dark place. And I'm asking God, man, you know, why? You know that stupid ass question we ask? Why me? After you hear y'all tell me, when I ask that question, y'all say, why not you? So me, man, I'm having reflection. I'm asking God, man, why me? You know, I had dreams, right? My parents, they had expectations. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to be in the league. But I'm in this garage, and I play a chump for crack, and I'm losing, and I'm winning. And at that last, you know, we call it a foxhole prayer. And I ask God, man, I say, God, you know, I got that spiritual awakening that if you just let me, if you just give me one more chance. And when I ask for that one more chance, man, I kind of like find myself like just getting up, man, and walking away from the table. Now, I know I got some crackheads in here. Who walks away from crack? So I get up, and I find myself walking out of this garage, and I'm walking down the street called South Capitol Street in Washington, D.C. And I'm walking to Eastover Shopping Center, because in my heart, you know, we talk about, you know, when we surrender, we got to surrender from the heart. So in my heart, man, you know, it's something that I'm looking for. I'm looking for some kind of connect, but I know what I didn't want. So I'm walking towards Eastover Shopping Center, and in the cut, I see a McDonald's. But I also know the side of McDonald's, like there's a 7-Eleven, and I can go there and I can maybe call somebody. Because, you know, in December, man, I had sold the leather coat. I had sold the Timberlands. So I'm walking, you know, man, for T-shirt and some old shower shoes. You know them shower shoes we get out from R&D. So I end up back at the phone, and you know, I ain't had no money. But I'm crying and I'm cold. I'm desperate, but I'm tired. I'm tired. So I get to a phone, right, and it didn't work. So I go to the middle phone, I pick up the phone, I get a dial tone, but I don't have no money. So, but I remember from being in a place, if I just press zero, I can get it connected. So I pressed zero, and the operator came to the phone. Check this out. When she came to the phone, she asked me what was the number what I was trying to call. I didn't remember the person's name, number. All I could do was say her name. For some reason, I made the connect. The connect went to a sister. A blood sister. Don't miss this. A sister who I took to treatment a year before because I thought she was worse than me. I'm talking about, man, I need to get a connection. And when I called her, right, she asked me, how you doing? Are you ready? And all I could tell her was, man, I was tired. She told me, stay right there. Stay right there, and we'll be there to get you. I thought she was talking about my family. I thought she was talking about, you know, the people that I grew up with. So I stood there. It felt like it was forever. But I stood there. And when they finally came, right? She didn't come with the family. She came with the members of Narcotics Anonymous. We're talking about it was a 12-step call. We're talking about the, you know, the unity of this program of one addict helping another. So that's how I got here. Growing pains. Sooner or later, we'll experience a particular kind of opportunity or catastrophe. We haven't heard in meetings. Sometimes an event like a breakup, the loss of a job, changes in our family triggers a flow of feelings, and it didn't stop. Grief, hardship, or betrayal can make us feel terribly lonely. Occasionally, we experience physical changes that bring emotional fright with them, including depression, anxiety, and deep fear. November the 7th, right? I got fired from my job. I got fired from this job that I have worked on for 16 years. This is a job, right, that this was my only job. Right. I get fired from this job, right? I get fired wrongfully terminated. I was going through a deep depression. Right? I thought all kinds of homicidal, suicidal thoughts. Right? When you're a disease, right? You can't see, right? On the outside, I was just so caught up, man, with anger. I was just so caught up, man, with what you doing to me. And I asked that stupid ass question. Why me? Why me? I ain't used in 18 years. Right? I help people. Right? I sponsor people. I'm responsible. Right? So I'm caught up, man. And my wife, I'm just taking her through hell. You know what I mean? She got to kind of like say, man, sometimes your wife got to become your friend. And she said, come on, man. I'm talking about sometimes, I'm so grateful, man, not just for my wife, but for the program to kind of like start loving me back to life, because I started coming into meetings and I started talking about, man, I wanted to kill this individual. I wanted to do some things, man. I mean, I had put the contract. All the people wanted was just the address. I already gave them the picture. So I'm caught up, man, and I'm out of position where it's at, man. I gotta do some stuff, man. I'm talking about, man, I had to drive Uber, man. I had to drive Uber. And I hated that shit. My disease we're talking about having some humility. My disease wouldn't allow me, man, to have to be humble. Because I was so caught up, man, with anger. So my wife's telling me, man, look, man, you're doing a lot better than you think you're doing. So I'm getting up every day, 6 o'clock, the drive is Uber. And I'm picking up people, and we're dialoguing, and we're having conversations. Not even knowing, man, how, through this conversation, man, that those people was having me get outside of me. So, I got this service position. The service position, it's like every month, right? I take a meeting to the jail. So through that whole month, man, a lot of stuff was going on, man, and it's almost time, right, for me to do the commitment. But prior to going to the commitment, right, I'm at home. And I'm sitting in the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom. I just got finished reading some stuff. But my wife's cell phone is in the bathroom. And I look at the phone. I don't know how the phone ended up in my hand. I guess I'm the only one who picked up somebody else's phone, right? So the phone ended up in my hand. And in my house, you know, in our relationship, man, you know, it ain't no, you know, we know each other's information, you know what I mean? So I went to her phone. And she asked me, did I go into her phone? Because it was lit up when she came in the bathroom. And I lied, and then I said I had to come clean, right, about, yeah, I did, because I saw, you know, a message come on there, right? It's something about women, man, that they have the ability to kind of, like, know when you're saying some bullshit. So, man, you know, and I needed to get to the exact nature, man, why my self-esteem, right, was at that point, man, that, you know, I went to her phone. Why would I willing to hurt, you know what I mean, somebody who loved me, right? Why would I go past that line? But, and then, you know, that next day, I had to go to the jail. So I go to the jail. I'm sitting in the room waiting for the guys to come into the meeting. But God has a way to get your attention. I'm sitting in this room. I'm watching guys go to press their bunk. I'm watching guys go take their showers. I'm watching guys get into the Medicaid line to get their medication. I'm watching guys, man, to sign up into the meeting. And then all of a sudden, man, I get this spiritual awakening. I'm talking about my reality. That could be my reality. Right? Because, you know, I'm the guy who went to jail in 19. Right? I'm the guy, man, you know, who they told me, man, that you're going to be sentenced to 15 years of life. So I got an opportunity, right, to kind of like go back into this, to a penitentiary, right, and reach back, right, and help some people, man, like Narcotics Anonymous have helped me. But because this disease, man, wouldn't allow me, right? It wouldn't allow me, man, to get outside myself. But what God did, he put me right back in that position that I needed to see my reality. I had to see my reality. So when I left the jail and I went home and I was telling, like, my wife, right, you know, how I was feeling, and I was so emotional. Because, you know, it doesn't take but an instant to make a decision. I'm talking about, you know, because I got caught up, man, you know, all the money that I had lost and all that stuff, man, that shit don't mean nothing. We talk about it here, man, it's an inside job in here. So she gave me a suggestion. She said, man, you need to do a gratitude list, man. I need to look at, man, you know what I mean, where I've been. You know, I'm not just an addict, man, who's in the garage, right? I'm also that addict, man, who went from the garage to the PhD. That's right. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just an addict, man, you know, who wasn't responsible, man. I came back into my children's life, man. So, when I got caught up, man, all that stuff, man, could have went up in the stem, man. And it's still all about losing, man. And that's what I got in touch with. Right? I got in touch with, man, you know, I used to say, man, I ain't never use again. You know, all that good talking shit, man. But I found out, man, that what happens, man, for me, it doesn't just happen in the natural first, right? It has to happen in the spiritual for me. And I start lying. Right? I start doing some things, man, you know what I mean? That, you know, my wife talks about the patterns. My patterns change. I'm talking about putting a contract on somebody, man. Right? And guess what? I was all right with it. It doesn't matter, man, how many steps I've done. It doesn't matter, man, how many people I've helped. The disease don't care nothing about that. All it wants is my life. And guess what? It'd be okay if I go crazy. If it makes me go crazy, I believe the disease will be just fine with that. Let me read this for y'all. Our inability to feel joy and gratitude can be a direct result of the suffering we have endured. I was suffering. But my inability to kind of like accept, right, what was going on for me, like, I couldn't look at, man, what God was doing to me. He actually was doing something for me. Right, because what I did, right, instead of putting, you know what I mean, God in first, right, I put that job in first. The job became my God. That money, power, prestige, man, started to come first. And it talks about in that literature, man, how jobs, money, prestige were diverted from my primary purpose. Right? I'm talking about with time in here. Staying clean. Staying clean is not a guarantee that nothing bad will happen. But the principles and the steps teach us how to live on life's terms and gives us the courage, the strength, and the wisdom to stay clean. No matter what, we are able to live lives of joy and purpose. No matter what we have been through, faith is what keeps us doing the footwork, even when we can't see the reason. And I couldn't understand, man, why. I don't know if y'all ever asked that stupid ass question, why me? You know what I mean? But I understand now, man, why not me? Why not me? Because someone else is going to face the same, they're going to lose their job, right? Someone else is going to lose a loved one. You know, everything that was shared to me early on in my recovery, man, I have went through now. Everything. Loss of home, loss of relationship, loss of job, loss of death. And I made it through. I didn't use. So if you're not part of the No Matter What Club, you know the No Matter What Club, right? If you're new here, right, I just want to encourage you, man, that just remember, man, things happen in recovery. You know what I'm saying? And to be able to endure and to be able to persevere, you have to continue to go to meetings. You have to continue to tell the truth. You know what I mean? You got to continue to talk to people, man, who's not going to sanction your bullshit. You know what I mean? They're going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you the truth. And even though people tell me the truth, right, do I have the inability? My inability is to believe what they tell me. Now I have to trust. I have to trust. So that's all I got. I hope I help somebody. Thank you very much.